take our Bibles today in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 this morning, and begin reading in verse number 11 of Romans chapter number 6. Going to read down here through the end of the chapter, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." One of the biggest fears that we as Americans are facing today is the fear of losing our freedoms. I believe that we still live in the greatest country on earth. I believe that. I thank God for the freedom that I have to be able to come and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ freely today. Not every Christian in the world can do that today. I thank God for the freedom that I have to openly carry a copy of God's Word and share the gospel with others. You can't do that everywhere today. But I thank God for the freedoms that we as Americans don't even really recognize as freedoms. For example, I thank God I can marry my, I can name my child whatever I want to. You can't do that in every country. I thank God that I can marry God's choice for my life, and I don't live in a country where you have to have arranged marriages. Can I get an amen right there? That's something we should thank God for. But in America, I am completely free, understand this, to accomplish God's purpose for my life without any laws restricting that. Now, I don't know about you, but oftentimes I wonder, I don't know how long I'll have these freedoms. I don't know how long I'll have the privilege of being a free American. I'm just being honest with you. With the way our country is headed, I don't know how long it's going to be this way. But here's the thing. Many times losing these freedoms has crossed my mind. But what if I were to tell you that many of the Christian Americans who are fearful of losing the freedoms that I just mentioned are willingly forfeiting an even greater freedom than the freedom that we have in America? What if I were to tell you that though in America we are completely free to follow God's perfect will for our lives, very few believers today, very few people today are interested in following God's perfect will for their lives? What if I were to tell you that in a country where I am free to serve God, very few people are truly serving God in America? You see, so many Christians are living in the land of the free, yet they're living a life of bondage in the land of the free. At the end of Romans chapter 6, Paul begins to deal with the issue of freedom. But here he's not dealing with physical freedom. He's dealing with spiritual freedom. In this chapter, he's writing to believers and he's reminding them of the fact that because of the sacrifice of their Savior, they too can have freedom. But it's not freedom from another country. It's not freedom from a tyrannical government or dictator. But rather, it's freedom from something that's far more dangerous than that. It's freedom from sin. Church, I thank God for the sacrifice of the men and women who died so that I could be born a free American. I thank God for that. But more than that, I thank God for the sacrifice of my Savior who died that I might be delivered from the bondage of sin. I think it's fairly obvious to all of us that the vast majority of this world wants the freedom that we have as Americans. If you don't believe that, look at the border. If you don't believe that, I'm just thinking a few weeks ago of that picture of those people over in Afghanistan who were jumping on the cargo planes, trying to get out of Afghanistan to get to America. I'll be honest, I was born an American. I've never had to deal with the things that other people in this world deal with. But listen, as Americans, we have great freedoms here. Great freedoms. But understand this. Even though we have these great freedoms as Americans, if you were saved today, understand this. You have a greater freedom than America can give you. You have the freedom that Jesus Christ, that only can come through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verses 12 through 23 of Romans 6, Paul tells us that there are two masters that we can serve. And as a result, there are two masters that we can be set free from. And each and every one of us are going to yield to one of these two masters. We're going to serve one, but we're going to be set free from the results of serving the other. Notice what he says in verse number 18 of Romans chapter 6. He says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So notice there, being made free from what? Free from sin. Verse number 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. So you're free, can be free from sin, or you can be free from righteousness. Verse 22 of Romans 6 tells us that righteousness is God. So when you serve righteousness, you're actually serving God. So that's the first master. The first master that we can serve is the master called righteousness. The second master that we can serve is the master called sin. By the way, that master called sin would include serving myself. When I serve myself, I'm serving sin. When I serve anyone else but God, I'm automatically serving sin. That's the way it goes. If you're not serving God, you're serving sin. If you're feeding your fleshly appetite, you are a servant to sin. No matter who we are, understand this, no matter who we are, we're going to have a master. Everyone has a master. We all have a master. Here's the thing, but when we proclaim ourselves to be our own master and we say, well, I'm making my own decisions and I'm doing what I want to do, then what you're truly proclaiming is that sin is your master. That's why people who live for themselves never do anything original. You have the teenage boy who says, when I move out, I'm doing things different. I'm tired of living, I'm tired of listening to mom and daddy. I want to be free. I want to be free from their rules. I just want freedom. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this nonsense. So what do? They go and start setting new trends? Nope. They start dressing just like their friends. They start talking just like their friends. They drink with their friends drink. They smoke with their friends smoke. They talk the way their friends talk. Can I get a witness at Bible Baptist on Labor Day weekend? Amen. That's what they do. It's not original. Rebellion is not original. That's right. Laziness is not original. We need to preach on that. Amen. That's not original. Immorality is not original. Disrespect was not invented on TikTok. It's been around a very, very long time. Listen, the sins that you're drawn to, that you want to get involved in, Hey, listen, grandma and grandpa dealt with the exact same thing. It was just in black and white. Amen? Same thing, though. Same sin in different packages. Solomon said it well in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse number 9. The thing that hath been is that which shall be, and the thing which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. It's all the same. The world looks at living for God as a life of bondage. I know I used to think that way before I got saved. The world views the Christian life as a life that tries to prevent them from doing things that they enjoy. It's a life of rules, they say. It's a life of boundaries, they say. Sin does not like boundaries. But the truth is, a life for God, a life lived for Jesus, is a life of freedom meant to keep you from getting involved in the things that will destroy your life. Sin will eat you up, chew you up, and spit you out. That's what sin will do. But a life for Christ, a life for God will fulfill you like nothing else will. It will sustain you like nothing else will. Your definition of freedom will dictate who it is you serve. If you feel that freedom is doing what you want, then you're probably going to serve sin. If you feel that freedom is doing what God wants, then there's a good chance you're going to serve the Lord. If you feel like doing what you know God is warning you to do is a burden to you, then you're probably going to lean towards sin. You're probably going to lean towards serving unrighteousness. Because whatever, understand this, whatever God wants you to do is righteousness. Whatever God wants you to do is right. If God wants it, then it's right. If God commands it, then it's right. If God doesn't want it, then it's not right. That's pretty deep, ain't it? But it's real. If you feel like sin and unrighteousness are more suitable for you, then there's a good chance your master will be sin. It's all in your definition of what good is. And by the way, our society has completely changed the definition of good. Isaiah warned of this. He said, "Woe to them that call good evil and evil good." What is your definition of good? Does it line up with God's definition of good? What is your definition of right? Does it line up with God's definition of right? It'll probably show who you're serving, who your master is. If your definition of good is what God says is good and righteous, then you're going to strive to please the Lord. Now let me make something clear. There's a big difference between struggling with sin and serving sin. It's a big difference. We all struggle with sin. We have a nature within us that struggles with sin, that desires sin. We all have that. But listen, it's like this. It's like you look up on the roof and the guy who struggles with sin, he sees the leak and he says, I might need to fix that. The guy who's serving sin sees the leak and says, man, I'll be swimming before long and I'll enjoy it. He doesn't get it fixed. The guy who's struggling with sin, he doesn't want to fall into it. He does some preventative maintenance. He tries to fix the issues. The guy who wants to serve sin says, that looks pretty good to me. By the way, you can be saved and serve sin. That's what this passage teaches right here. You can be saved and serve sin. But notice in this passage that neither one of these masters, whether it be sin or whether it be righteousness, neither one of them force you to do anything. Remember, he's writing to saved people here. You get to choose who you serve if you're saved. By the way, if you're not saved, you're going to serve sin. You have, and that's what he talks about in this passage. You have no other alternative until you trust Christ. You're going to serve sin and you're going to deal with the wages of sin until you truly trust Christ and live for Christ. Throughout this chapter, Paul uses the word yield. If you've ever driven and passed your driver's test, maybe even have a permit, you know what yield means. You come to that sign on the road. And if you're in a good mood, you're going to let the other person have the right of way. You're going to now sometimes you're going to think, well, that ain't a stop sign, so I'm going to keep going. They can wait. But no, yielding is letting the other have his way. And so that's what it is. If you are going to be a servant of Christ, you're going to let him have his way in every caps lock. Every, that means every single letter of every is capitalized. Every area of your life. is going to be given to him. Many people don't mind giving certain things. But by the way, you ever heard the word Lord? He should be the Lord of our... He is Lord, by the way. He's always Lord, but is he Lord of your life? Do you treat him as Lord? Or are there certain rooms in your life, not physical rooms, rooms in your heart, that have the keep out God on them? You won't allow him to come in that area of your life. You won't allow him to deal with that issue in your life. Let him be master. It's getting quiet in here, amen? Amen. I'm preaching to me too. I ain't just preaching to y'all. But every single one of us are going to comply with one of two masters. We're going to serve one of two masters, sin or righteousness. And that's my title this morning. I'm going to preach on this simple thought, true freedom. True freedom. And I want to examine these two types of freedom that Paul deals with in this passage. If this is not a regular traditional Baptist outline, I got 2 points and some sub-points there. So y'all bear with me. Number one, freedom from righteousness. Freedom from righteousness. Notice verse number 20 of our passage. Paul says, "For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." So in this passage, Paul is reminding these Roman believers of their lives before Christ. He says, look back to what you did before you got saved. Look back to your life before you got saved. He says, before someone gets saved, he said, they are free from righteousness. Understand this. When you are free from something, you are free from its authority in your life. You are free from most of its influence in your life. And when someone is free from righteousness, they are free from the path that God would have them to walk. And free from the life that God would have them to live. So when they're serving sin and they're free from righteousness, they have a wrong ruler. They have the wrong ruler, not the thing you measure stuff with, the one who's over you. They have the wrong ruler. Verse 17, the Bible says this. Paul tells them, "Ye were the servants of sin." By the way, either you're there now or you used to be there. We've all been in that category. We've all dealt with that master. We've all served the master called sin at some point in our lives. "Ye were the servants of sin." Verse 19. "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity." Paul says they've yielded their members, which is simply be their bodies. You've yielded your bodies as servants to sin. So think about this, the word sin. Sin, in its most basic definition, simply means missing the mark. This means that you fall short of God's demands. You fail to meet His requirements. That's a broad definition of sin. By the way, sin is the broad word that describes every way that we miss God's mark. But in verse 19, Paul says, they yielded themselves servants to uncleanness. Notice that word, servants to uncleanness. Sin and uncleanness are not exactly the same. Sin is a more broad word, while uncleanness has a more specific meaning. Uncleanness is a result of sin, certainly. But uncleanness is moral impurity. It's defilement by sin. That's what uncleanness is. It is a result of continually living a life of missing the mark. Let me give you the picture here. Let me give you a word picture, okay? You ever had your kid go and jump in the mud puddle? Okay? If it's muddy, they see it. What is it about kids when they see mud puddles, they want to go jump in them? I don't know. But if you ever had the kid, they wallow in it. You know what wallow means? That's a South word. We call it wallering union. They wallered in it. So they got down, they wallered in the mud, okay? Like a hog. But here's the thing. When they get in that mud puddle, at that point, they're physically unclean, okay? They're unclean. The mud puddle is sin. Okay? Sometimes we get a little bit splashed on us from time to time. Amen? But there's a difference when it's raining outside. We live in a dirty world. There's a difference when it's raining outside and there's mud everywhere and you get a little bit sprinkled on you than diving in it and swimming in it. Amen? Big difference. when you're unclean, what it is, you see the sin, you see the mud, and you jump in and have a time. At that point, you're unclean. Does that make sense? So that's what, even though it's sin, it's a different, deeper meaning than what the actual, just missing the mark. So Paul says that before you got saved, you were the servants of uncleanness. You were the servant of sin. But as a result of serving sin, you went further than just missing the mark. You were involved in uncleanness. And when you're involved in uncleanness, you begin to serve perversions. You begin to submit to the lusts of the flesh. You begin to submit to those things that are immoral. Sin will tear you to pieces. Don't think you're above it. The Bible says, let every man take heed lest he fall. Take heed. It could be you. It could be me. Be very, very, you're capable of doing some very, very bad things. Don't think you're above it. Don't think for one second you're, none of us are above it. You have a dirty, rotten flesh and you know what's went through your mind. You know that. Be careful. But when someone's involved in uncleanness, they whatever they lust after, they go after. Paul then goes on to say, and to iniquity, unto iniquity. The word iniquity comes from inequity. And it refers to that which is unequal, unfair, or unjust. David said in Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. Throughout Scripture, you will find that iniquity consists of violating the law of right between man and man. In other words, you're violating other people. The Oxford English Dictionary says that it is used especially of wrongful or injurious actions toward another, infliction or wrong injury. To practice iniquity is to be unjust and unequal in our dealings with others. Now, when David talks about his iniquity, what's he talking about? Who did David commit iniquity with? Uriah. He stole his wife and had him killed. It's iniquity. Psalm 14:4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. The workers of iniquity there in Psalm 14 were doing people wrong. You see, when you choose to serve sin, when you choose to serve and submit to anything other than God's perfect standard, you are committing to missing the mark. And by missing the mark, you're going to do more than just miss the mark. You're going to become unclean. You're going to commit iniquity after iniquity. You're going to become immoral. You're going to get involved in sexual perversion if you're not careful. Don't think you're above it. If you commit to serving sin, you will find yourself in a mess. Be careful. That's become very common in our day. When you serve sin, you're going to serve sin's offsprings known as uncleanness and iniquity. What are you going to do with iniquity? You're going to lie. You're going to cheat. You're going to be selfish. You're going to do people wrong. Why? Because you have the wrong ruler. You got the wrong master. You think you're living for yourself. You think you by following your when you follow your feelings, you're following straight to the master of sin. Do not trust your feelings. Do not listen. Well, my feelings have never failed me. You're lying. You're lying if you say your feelings have never failed you. Life in a Disney movie. Amen. You can't just follow your heart and everything's going to turn out right. That's not the way it works. That's not real life. Be careful about who your master is. So we see, when we're free from righteousness, we have the wrong result. Notice the wrong result here, verses 20 and 21. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Notice verse 21. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Notice verse 23, a familiar verse to us. For the wages of sin is death. Paul uses three words here to describe the results of sin. He uses fruit. What is fruit? It's simply that which is produced. Paul says the fruit of sin is something that a saved person should be ashamed of. He says, wherein you were now, you were ashamed. He says you were ashamed of what you used to get involved in. The life that sin produces should be embarrassing to someone that loves the Lord. It should be that. And listen, let me say this. I am all for counseling. I am all for accountability. You should find someone in your life who you trust who can help you, because we all got issues. We all do. But listen, when you get to the point where you can talk about your sins and giggle, that's a red flag. God ain't giggling about it. We should never, listen, our country has gotten so calloused and numb to immorality and sin. And what's happened is as Christians have become so calloused and numb to uncleanness and wickedness. It's everywhere. I was telling the story this morning. When I was a kid, you ever saw the Highlight magazines? You remember the Highlight magazines? They always were in the doctor's offices. And I'd walk every house. I'd read some film stream. I'd read about people getting eaten by bears and stuff like that. And then I'd go and I'd read I wouldn't read the Highlight magazine. I'd go to that words or that picture search. And I'd go and find all the pictures. But I think Heather read them growing up. She would actually read the stories and all the other stuff. I just did the fun stuff. Played the games. Well, we thought, you know what? Maybe we should try to get Lucas and Sadie some Highlight magazines. And so, sure enough, we got them and Lucas is devouring them. He's reading them. I mean, he is soaking it up. Sadie's like me. She's finding the pictures. And, but come to find out, I was looking through it one day, and I said, you know, because it seems like everywhere you look, it's immorality everywhere you look. And I said, you know, my kid's loving this right now. I need to check on this and make sure this is safe. And I go to look, and it has a little thing on there where, at one point, some kid has his writing back to Highlight magazines and telling Highlight magazine about his two moms. I said, uh-oh, big red flag right here. So I had to sit down with Lucas and explain to him. I said, buddy, this is not acceptable. Have you seen other things about this? And he began to tell us other stories about how, I said, well, buddy, anytime you ever see something like that, you come and get daddy right then. See, here's the thing. Here's the mistake we made. We thought that the 2021 Highlight magazines were the same as the 1991 Highlight magazines. They're not the same. Things have changed a good bit. So, by the way, we ordered some Ken Ham magazines now. So we're reading creation stuff. Apologetics, amen. I'm trying to do that. So tried to replace one thing with the other. But here's the thing. We have to be careful. This world, the world has always been wicked. Understand this. But our society is growing darker and darker and darker. And if we're not careful, we'll get used to it. It'll get numb to us. We won't be ashamed of it anymore. Be careful about that. Be careful about what we allow to come into our homes. When you serve sin, the fruit's not going to be good. It's not going to end up well. For example, I mean, when you have an apple tree, you're not going to get oranges. When you use the recipe for a chocolate cake, you're not getting a pecan pie. When you serve sin, you're not going to get good fruit. It's like today in marriages. Everybody, I've never seen a marriage that wanted it to just blow up right off the bat. At the altar, they're saying, I hope we fight like cats and dogs all the time. I hope our kids hate us. I hope our kids disrespect us. You know why? Because what it is, people who ignore righteousness and are against righteousness still want the fruit of righteousness. They want good fruit, but they don't want to. People who hate God, who hate the Bible, they want the fruit of righteousness. But you don't get the fruit of righteousness by serving sin. This whole chapter deals with that. You get death. That's what you get. You get death. Sin leads to death. James 1 tells us the same thing. Sin leads to death. When you serve the master called sin, you're going to have death of relationships. You're going to have the death of careers. You're going to have the death of testimonies. It kills everything it gets a part of. It'll kill your joy. Be careful about that. Listen, I'm going to use a Dabo Swinney quote real quick. Where's Luke praying at? Let me give you this one. We're all tempted to sin. Every single one of us. But whenever it comes, always remember this. This is a great, quote. Good thought here. Never, I'm going to make sure I say it right. Never allow what you want in the moment to be more important than what you want the most. Think about, listen, when that temptation comes, it seems like right then, man, that would feel so good right now. That would be nice to get involved in right now. But what's it going to do long term? Daddies, mamas, it's more, the effects are going to be more than just on your life, it's going to be on your kids' lives also. Think about the long term effects. What do you want the most? Listen, I want my kids to serve Jesus. I want to have a good testimony. I want God to bless my home. That's not going to happen if I allow the sin to be my master. And even though I'm a preacher, sin can be my master. I'm not above that. If you've served, and we've all been there, before you got saved, you know what sin does in your life. It's the same now. It's not going to be no better the second time. Serve God. Serve right. I've got way ahead of myself, but serve righteousness. Amen. So he deals with the end. He deals with the wages. He said the wages of sin is death. What are wages? It's compensation. The death. Now, the death that Paul is talking about is not necessarily physical death, but the second death, which is hell and then the lake of fire for all of eternity. That's what sin leads to. Now, here's the thing. If you're saved, you're not going to lose your salvation. Thank God for that. But listen, that's the kind of life you're involved in. It's the life that destroys things, that sends people to hell for all of eternity. Don't serve that master. You know what it leads to. By the way, if you're not saved, listen, you can be saved today and you can have the access to the good master. You can have access to our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the good master. Which leads me to my second point. I'll hurry. Verse 18 says, being then, we see that number 2, the freedom from sin. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God. Remember, freedom is being free from its authority. In other words, you don't have to listen to sin anymore when you get saved. You don't have to follow your lust anymore when you get saved. If you're saved, God has given you a new nature. He's given you a new hope. You don't have to follow sin. You can live for Christ. Paul says that as a result of being set free from sin, we can serve God. That sounds exciting. Some of y'all don't look like excited about it. Listen, remember what you were before you got saved? Remember what God's done for you now? Remember the peace when you first got saved? I'll never forget that day. I was talking to it in our Ella was in there this morning, and another couple. We were talking about in the doorway class. We were talking about salvation. They were asking me when I got saved. And I began to explain it. And I said, listen, sometimes I just can't put it into words. God changed my life. God radically changed my life. And I say to people all the time, people say, there's only one salvation experience I've ever personally experienced. And that's my own. And I know what God did in my life. And I can't put it all into words, but he radically changed my life. And the peace that came with that, the joy that came with that, the purpose that came with that. Why would I want to go back to the old master? By the way, the old master's still going to call. He's going to try to get you to come back. But remind him of what he's done. Remind him and tell him about your new master. God's been good to you. God's been good to us all. Even if you're not saved today, God has been good to you. He's given you another day on this earth and another opportunity to be saved. God's been good. Why would I want to serve sin? Sin destroys lives. We have the right ruler when we serve righteousness. We also have the right result. There's some things I've missed out on by serving righteousness. I've missed out on hangovers. Amen. I've missed out on friends I can't trust. I've missed out on a life of regret. The world, the flesh, and the devil will tell you that without sin you're missing out. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there's no life better than serving Jesus. There's nothing better than that. He says you have fruit in the holiness. What is fruit in the holiness? It's the opposite of fruit in the sin. Instead of uncleanness, you'll have purity. Instead of iniquity, you have honesty and integrity. Instead of confusion, you have wisdom. How many of us need wisdom in this day? Instead of bitterness, it's forgiveness. Instead of misery, it's joy. Instead of regret, it's rejoicing. Why would you want sin when you can have righteousness? And the most important thing of all, listen, if you're not saved, it's heaven instead of hell. You can have heaven instead of hell.